Now, Saturday Night Theatre.
Please, slow down. You're going too fast. Oh, stop! Please stop! You're frightening me!
Get out! Get out!
Death Against the Odds by Michael McStay. With Stephen Thorne as Inspector Coleman and Joe Dunlop as Sergeant Astor. Phyllis Logan as Lady Penelope, James Warwick as Sir Harry Kelso, and Morag Hood as Annette Granger.
One of the problems that I so often have to face as Sheriff Principal is that the police often fail to present a case properly.
One of the problems that I have to face as a policeman is that the sheriffs often seem more intent on being social workers.
Oh, now, steady on, Ronnie.
I don't want you patting villains on the head and telling them to be good little villains in future. I want them locked away for a good few years.
I don't think anybody could accuse me of being over-lenient, Ronnie.
Why, will policemen talk shop all the time?
Not just policemen, Margaret. Harry, you are becoming very boring.
This concerns you, Penny. It concerns us all.
But not now. Margaret has provided a beautiful meal.
Yes, it was excellent.
Thank you. What was it?
I beg your pardon.
I was joking, Harry. I've known times when he's been so deep in conversation over dinner that he hasn't noticed what he's eaten.
Beef Wellington.
Oh, well done.
You're very quick to pour scorn on my obsession with law and order.
Oh, don't think
I was teasing, Harry.
But you're the one who gets disproportionately upset about a break-in.
Oh, any woman would
feel... Nothing was taken.
Somebody in your house.
That's the worst thing.
Mm.
Nothing doing there, I suppose, Ronnie?
Not as far as I know.
I suppose Inspector Coleman can't be concerned with petty crime.
Harry!
No, I'm teasing, Penny.
I'm afraid I have rather left it to my sergeant. I've been distracted by another rash of sheep rustling.
Well, I didn't lose anything.
Alba mea culpa. I shall check on it tomorrow.
You know, I don't really understand why a chap like you becomes a policeman in the first place.
Oh, Harry, please don't start him on that. Now, would anybody like some more sweets? The meringue.
Somebody has to do it.
Cheese. Oh, no, thank you, Margaret.
But why you, Ronnie? You've a first-rate education, you're comfortably off. More than comfortably off.
Well, there's nothing that says that the copper has to be a Mr. Blood. In fact, in this high-tech age...
Yes, but all the same...
And I married money.
Ronald.
Well, I didn't mean to pry.
Then please don't, darling.
But when one thinks of a policeman...
People really do think of policemen. Until they need them. We have... refuse disposal experts, I believe we now have to call them. To keep the rubbish off our streets, somebody has to keep the human rubbish off our streets.
I'm going to serve coffee in the library. Excuse me for 5 minutes. Ronald?
Yeah, I'll bring brandy and port through.
Penny? Oh, I'll give you a hand.
I have no idea of causing offence.
You have a gift?
My sergeant always complains that nobody loves a copper until they need one.
No, surely not.
Well, it's true to say that most of the people I know best are Margaret's friends.
Well, I hope you'd consider Penelope and myself.
Yeah, but I met you through Margaret. You take my point.
Well, I came to you after the break-in because you're a friend.
Yeah, I'm sorry there hasn't been any progress then.
Ronnie... How does a girl set about attracting her host's attention? Are you going to escort me to the library, or shall I try to find my own way there?
Forgive me. Let me just get the brandy.
Well, I accept that the likelihood of catching a couple of chances is pretty remote.
I might forgive you when I have a large brandy in my hand and you promise to spend the rest of the evening telling me how fascinating you find me.
As long as anything I say is not taken down.
In any case, there was no... Wait,
Harry... I deliberately didn't invite anybody else. I thought it's been so long since we saw you and Harry.
Oh, so much better.
And I hate those dinner parties where far too many people sit around.
Oh, when the best conversations are happening at the other end of the table.
And you've got the two most boring men at the party on either side of you.
Of course, I'd forgotten your father was a policeman.
Yes.
I remember the case. A dreadful business.
It was at the time.
Shot while investigating a break-in at a jeweler's.
Mm. Today, the death of a copper makes a good front-page story for, 48 hours.
Mm.
In those days, the public outrage lasted until the man was caught. And then for weeks after that, while the hanging debate was resurrected.
Well, the man was caught.
Given up by the criminal fraternity.
How do you mean?
Well, those were the days when the real villains would never countenance guns. As for killing a copper...
Mm.
And it took just 4 days before a series of tip-offs had given the police the killer, the gun, and the evidence.
Good Lord.
Will you have another?
Yes, thank you. It's a very fine
brandy. Ronald, if you're offering more brandy, should I make more coffee?
Oh, I should love some, Margaret. I assume I'm driving?
You assume correctly, Penelope.
Oh, dear.
It's all right, Ronald. I'll get it.
Is that the reason you became a policeman?
No, not at all.
Well, very different now, I imagine.
Are you two still talking shop?
Yes, the man who killed my father had nowhere to hide. His own kind turned against him. Mm. But today... Oh, there's a sickening air of casual violence. A bunch of kids will kick an old lady unconscious with a tenpenny coin in her handbag.
I'm afraid it's for you, Ronald. Sergeant Astor.
Damn!
How much longer have we got to hang around, Sarge?
Until the inspector gets here.
He's taking his time.
He's probably got lost.
Aye. Along with Forensic. Where are they?
I do not know, Constable.
What are you eating? Biscuits. You want one?
No.
It helps keep the cold out.
I assure you, I'm just as cold and miserable as you are, Constable.
And it's going to rain soon.
In that case, we shall all be cold and miserable and wet. But we're still waiting for the inspector.
Granger. Well, hello. Yes, I am surprised. Now, do you know what time it is? I see. Mm-hmm. Well, that's an offer I can't refuse. 20 minutes?
Start!
Thank the Lord for that.
Bring us in. If it is the inspector, we still have to wait for Forensic. And if it's Forensic, we still have to wait for the inspector.
Bloody hell.
What was that, Constable?
Nothing, Sarge.
Good. It's a man's life in the modern force, Constable.
There you are. Good evening, Fred.
Good evening, sir.
Got a bit lost. Miserable night.
Especially when you've been hanging around for more than an hour.
I hope I don't detect a note of tetchiness, Fred.
Oh, I hope not, sir.
Most unlike you. I had to wait for a car. Well, Margaret had a dinner party. I was in the middle of a very fine cognac when you called.
I was in the middle of a pasty and a mug of cocoa.
Thought it advisable not to drive myself. So, why have you dragged me out, apart from bloody mindedness?
Got a dead woman. Take a look.
Suspicious circumstances?
Possibly.
Possibly? Fred, it was a Hennessy XO, 30 years old.
Sounds nice.
Now, what I'm saying is, couldn't you handle it yourself?
And you know her, sir. You know the husband.
Do I? Is that him?
No, sir. That's the motorist who found the body.
Got his statement, etc.?
Yes, sir.
All right, let him go home.
Evening, sir.
Good evening, Constable. What are you eating?
Biscuits, sir.
Biscuits?
Aye. Helps keep out of the cold.
Does it? Get rid of them, Constable. And tell our friend there that he can go home.
Yes, sir. All right, for some.
Dear God.
Yes, sir, a bit of a mess.
Car?
Yes.
Hit and run?
Well, yes, sir, but...
Do I know her?
If you take a closer look...
I don't think I'll bother, Fred. Who is she?
Helen Fraser. Wife of Callum Fraser. Drinks in the Prince Charlie. You know him.
Oh, yes. Likes his malt.
That's him.
Has he been told?
Not yet, sir. There's a wee story there.
What the devil was she doing up on the moor at this time of night? Dead long?
Don't know, sir. The thing is, the state she's in. I'd swear she'd been hit more than once.
What do you mean?
Front and back.
Sir!
That'll be Forensic.
They're a bit late, aren't they?
Well, I sent for them. Perhaps they got lost, sir. It can happen.
Yeah.
Now, there's some likely-looking tyre tracks on the verge over there. We'll be able to take some casts.
Well, they'd better be quick. It's starting to rain.
Oh, over.
Oh, damn and blast.
Who is it?
Sir Harold Kelso.
The laird.
Laird of all these surveys.
Hello again, Ronnie. I wondered if there was anything I could do.
This isn't necessary, Sir Harold.
Dear. Is that the unfortunate...
There's no need, Sir Harold. This is a matter for the police. My sergeant, and this is Sergeant Astor.
Evening, sir.
He made the call.
Yes.
He has everything under control.
Possibly, but you're on my land. I really thought I might be able to help. Might know her, one of my employees, perhaps.
I don't think so.
Let me have a look.
She's in a bit of a mess, sir.
Oh, I've got a strong stomach.
Constable, get on the radio again. Find out where Forensic are.
Yes, sir.
Could I have a word, Sir Harold?
Yes.
By your car. I appreciate your offer of help.
Oh, not at all. Bit of excitement?
Well, I don't consider a violent death a bit of excitement. This is a police matter,
and... Sheriff, Ronnie.
Well, then, if this case should come before you, you'll be apprised of all the relevant facts.
Oh, don't be so pompous, man.
Harry, you reek of alcohol.
Are you going to breathalyze me?
You place me in a very embarrassing position. If one of my officers...
I am on my own land.
You are on a public highway.
You don't have to explain the law to me.
You're presuming on a friendship, Harry. Now, I can't send for another car.
I'm sorry that you...
You understand?
I'm sorry that you're taking this attitude, Ronnie. I'm sure you know your job, but it seems am I presumptuous to turn down an offer of help from a member of the public, particularly when that member of the public is a person of some influence in local civil circles.
Friends in high places.
Yes.
Thank you for your offer of help, Sir Harold. Now go home and drive carefully. Fred? Where the hell are Forensic? I'm getting soaked.
Oh, your friend leaving, sir.
A bit full of his own importance. Now, where are these tire tracks you were telling me about?
They're just over here.
Actually, have the nerve to utter vague threats.
A bloody idiot.
Hell so. Oh,
that biscuit-eating... Idiot constable. The tire tracks. He hasn't covered the tire tracks. They're half washed away.
How unfortunate. Now, will you explain that to Forensic? I suspect this is them now.
It's common knowledge around the pub. And a few nights back, Callum arrived in the bar, ordered a drink, and suddenly burst into tears.
What?
Through his sobbing, he tried to explain that his wife was having an affair.
Which you knew.
We also knew that Callum knew she was having an affair. And didn't give a damn as long as she was around to cook his meals and iron his shirts.
Well, a man should have his priorities, right?
But then he got around to the truth of the matter. It seemed that he'd just got his bank statement and discovered she's been forging his signature to his checks.
Good Lord.
Well, he's a prudent man's calm. His wife's affair was acceptable within certain limits, but the fact that he was paying for it as well...
Oh, quite beyond the pale.
Since then, he's been back in the pub, drinking heavily and making wild threats about what'll happen to his wife.
And you think that...
It's a possibility.
Professor Coleman?
Has he been notified?
Not yet, sir. I wanted this talk.
Dr. Calderside.
Ah, good evening, Doctor. Well, good morning.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting. I'm afraid your young woman through there is in one hell of a mess.
That's why I'm here.
Yes, of course. Foul play.
You tell me, Doctor.
Well, I haven't yet had a chance to do a full post-mortem. But it's clear that she has been hit more than once. Certainly twice. Maybe three times. Before she lay down and died, as it were.
Yeah, that's what my sergeant said.
And I'm certain that she was then run over yet again while she was lying on the ground.
Yes.
You don't sound very surprised.
Oh, I've been a policeman a long time. Are you able to tell me at what stage of this terrible battering the poor woman actually died?
I can't tell before I open her
eyes. I need to be quite certain that she couldn't have been hit, for example, by any other passing car after the original accident.
It's not as if she was found on Sucky Hall Street, is it, sir?
Oh, right, Fred.
The only alternative is that one hit-and-run driver had the same accident three times.
Yes. Yes, I'm afraid we are looking at a particularly unpleasant murder. Could you get me an autopsy report as a matter of urgency, Doctor?
Oh, yes, of course.
Thanks very much for your help.
Not at all.
Right. Get round to the husband, Fred. Yank him out of bed and let's see what he has to say.
No, sir.
Well, let's not keep him waiting any longer. One way or another, he'll be expecting a call from us.
He'll be going to the station.
Oh, I don't think so, Fred. I'll leave you to soften him up. I'm cold and wet and just a little deflated. I think I shall go home and see if there's any brandy left.
Oh, I'm sure Mrs. Coleman will have left you a dram, sir.
Oh, I'm sure she has, Fred. She takes great care to indulge my little luxuries.
Why not? After all, a Hennessy XO, 30 years old.
Just come in, Sarge.
Good. Got the morning report ready, Jackie?
I've got on the desk in 5 minutes.
Good, lad. The sooner we get through it, the sooner I get my head down.
Rough night.
Duty, young Jackie.
Morning, Fred.
Morning, sir.
Morning,
young sir.
Oh, yes.
Well, how did it go, Fred?
Very well indeed, sir.
Still got him here?
Oh, yes, sir. Booked and locked up.
Booked?
And locked up. You missed all the fun, sir.
Callum Fraser.
No problems. He was actually trying to clean his car down when we arrived. He'd been drinking. Didn't even pretend. Broke down as soon as he saw the uniforms.
Well, what had he done?
Just what we thought. Drove his wife up onto the moor in the late evening, then told her to get out. Drove the car straight at her. Took him 3 or 4 attempts to kill her, he's not sure. I can't understand why she didn't run off across the moor as soon as she realized what he was up to.
Ah, she was probably a sport. Didn't want to spoil his fun. I'm sorry. But she would scarcely expect him to drive the car at her. Mm. And after the first blow, she'd be stunned, unable to think or move quickly.
Poor woman.
Yes. Well, the excitement's over. What else do we have?
Young should have the morning report.
Come. Is that the...
Morning report, sir.
Anything interesting?
That usual stuff, sir.
What is the usual stuff, Young?
Another outbreak of sheep rustling.
I thought that one was all sorted out. It's the Kendrick brothers.
Is it, sir?
Yes.
How do you know?
Oh, Fred.
Because it's always the Kendricks, Jackie.
But we haven't got any evidence.
Then go and get some evidence.
Me, sir.
You know where they live?
The Strathallan estate, Jackie.
The other side of the moor.
I'll give you something to do with your day, Constable.
Oh, yes. Thank you, sir.
Check with me later, Jackie. He's not a bad lad, sir.
He's a raving idiot. The disaster area.
The occasional word of praise.
When he does something praiseworthy, I shall be the first to recommend he be transferred somewhere where his talent can flourish. Mm. What else have we got?
There's a couple of stolen cars.
Somebody needing a lift home. They'll turn up in Glasgow.
And a domestic. Oh, wife beating off her husband. He won't lay charges. Looks bad in the pub.
Good grief. There's nothing there to occupy a constable. Whatever happened to major crime, Fred? Spoke too soon. This is it. Coleman? Good morning, sir. Yes, sir, of course. Is it a killing in Kilmore's, a massacre in Moncton? No, sir. Just going through the morning report. Another lackluster day. Yes. Yes, sir. Superintendent McCauley wants the word.
At once.
Sounds touching.
This report, will I...
When I get back.
I was hoping to get my head down.
Of course. Grab a cup of coffee, Fred. I won't be long.
I don't want another cup of coffee. Thank you. I want a glass of sherry with the soup. Well, I want to get to bed.
Well, I must say, that all sounds very satisfactory. Sergeant Aston?
Yes, sir.
There's no possibility of a cock-up.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, you know, I mean, so many people, the press baying for our blood. The confession, all pucker?
If I know Aston, recorded with a witness and repeated in front of a lawyer, no, sir, he'll have got it right.
Good, good. I'll commend him from me.
Hmm. And... that wasn't why you wanted to see me, Superintendent.
Oh, no, not directly. Would you care for a sherry, Ronnie?
Is that the...
Yes, it's the one Ellsworth discovered in the local supermarket. It's rather good, eh?
Yes, but not for me, thank you. A bit early.
Oh, yes. Well, I suppose I ought not to, but... having lunch with Harry Kelso.
Well, that'll be nice, sir.
Oh, he's a good man, Ronnie. Very powerful locally.
So he tells me.
Well, I might as well come straight to the point. I've had a complaint.
The day will be when you don't have a complaint.
No, this one is personal.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Well, no, the complaint's been made against you. Harry Kelso.
I see. Well, if you can let me have it in the usual manner, sir.
It's not formal. Now, look, Ronnie, suppose is bloody embarrassing for me.
Well, if it's not formal, why are we wasting our time?
What is this business last night?
Sir Harold turned up on the moor.
And you were rude to him.
Well, he was poking his nose into something that didn't concern him.
I don't have to remind you that...
That he's a very powerful man locally. No, sir, you just said that.
And you were rude to him.
I was not rude to him. Have you ever known me to be rude to anybody, sir?
Frequently. Suffice to say that he resented your attitude.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, he also complained this morning that he returned to the scene of the accident, murder, and found an empty cigarette packet, what appeared to be a couple of soiled swabs, a plastic bag containing the remains of some plaster of Paris, and even a half-empty packet of biscuits.
Oh, damn it all, sir. It was a filthy night in the middle of nowhere. A woman was dead.
No harm has been done, Ronnie.
There certainly has not.
It might be an idea to have a word to the personnel concerned. We are very vulnerable to criticism of any kind, particularly when it comes from someone like Sir Harry.
I'll speak to them, sir.
He's a good friend of the force, and we need all the friends we can get.
The man's a pompous idiot.
Yes, well, I have nothing more to say.
Thank you, sir. I'll pass your message on. Oh, enjoy your lunch.
It was the middle of the night, sir. And we had a dead
man. I don't give a damn, Sergeant. You were the senior officer present. It was your job to see that members of the public were not inconvenienced by the actions of the men under your command.
Yes, sir.
Good grief. Have you seen this report?
No, sir.
What were you doing while I was with the superintendent?
You suggested I might get a coffee.
Yeah. Well, here's a problem you can sort out. The Kendricks.
Constable Young is dealing with that now, sir.
And it seems that they've been slaughtering the sheep in their garage again.
If it was them.
Oh, of course it was them. Same pattern. They've obviously been trying to get rid of the entrails down the loo.
Yeah.
The water supply to half the estate and probably some of the bigger houses lying along the same main system is blocked.
I hope Sir Harold Kelso's isn't one of them.
So, you get down to the water board, find out the areas most likely to be affected, and dispatch a couple of constables to apologise to the householders.
I was actually thinking of getting my head down for a couple of hours.
Good idea, but just as soon as you've been to the water board. But I can't send a constable, needs a bit of authority.
Yes, sir.
Jamie Parrish?
Sir?
Who the hell is Jamie Parrish?
Oh, yes, I did know about him, sir, the shoes.
That's right, the shoes.
He was nicked for stealing two left shoes from the rack outside Dulcie's. Remember, a staff recognised him when he came back next day to nick a couple of right ones.
But why am I bothered with this?
It's the daily report, sir.
Yeah, and what's this? The letter's gone from the roof of the church at Kilmore's? 2 weeks after work to replace it was completed? Well, I thought the lead went from the roof 20 years ago.
Well, that's true, sir. The congregation has been collecting since then to replace it. It was quite a feature, apparently. Very intricate working.
Why don't the good people of Kilmore save everybody's time and energies and just take up a collection for the local villains? If this is the sort of crime that lands on my desk, Fred, do you understand why I get bored and frustrated? And why I get extremely angry with the likes of Sir Harold Kelso? Who is that?
It's Constable Young, sir.
What does he want?
He's found a body, sir.
Well, I told him to bring in the Kendricks. What does he mean, he's found a body? Tell him to come in here. What do you mean, you found a body? What sort of body?
A dead one, sir.
Well, what have you done with it?
I've notified Sergeant Gregg, sir. I thought I'd better get back here and notify you personally.
And who was it?
I don't know, sir.
And where was it?
On Sir Harold Kelso's land.
Oh, my God.
I can't tell you an exact reference, sir, but you know the junction of two roads by Craig... Well, one's only a track.
No, really. No, I don't know, Constable.
Sergeant Gregg knew it, sir.
You've done well, Jackie.
Been there a long time, I'd say, since last night. Rigor mortis. Heavily rained on.
Since last night? Fred, you don't think...
Sir?
Two bodies? It couldn't be possible that Fraser killed his wife and then... Well... Perhaps hit some other poor soul by accident on his way home.
The hit-and-run business is that, sir. Oh, I shouldn't think so. Not unless he stopped, went back, and shot him with a 12-bore as well. The man's chest had been blown away.
Do you know anything about this man? What was his name?
Granger, sir. Derek Granger.
Who identified the body?
Sergeant Gregg knew him, sir. Quite a local celebrity.
Sergeant Gregg?
Derek Granger, sir. He's a bookmaker. And Sergeant Gregg likes to follow the horses.
Are you telling me that Sergeant Gregg made the formal identification?
No, sir.
Then would you answer my question?
Yes, sir. Which question was that?
Good grief.
Only asked two questions.
Never mind, young. Is Gregg still here?
No, sir. He took the lady home, sir.
Which lady?
The lady who identified the body.
And which lady was that, young?
Inspector Coleman.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I always seem to keep you waiting.
No, forgive me. I was trying to elicit some information from a reluctant witness. Dr. Calderside, this is Police Constable Young.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, Constable.
Constable Young found the body.
And then I informed Sergeant Gregg. And he arranged for the body to be brought here and for Miss Farrell to identify
who,
the body.
Who is Miss Farrell?
Nancy Farrell, sir. Mr. Granger's secretary. I was going to tell you when Dr. Calderside...
Thank you, Constable.
She's a very capable young woman and very attractive.
That wouldn't surprise me, Doctor. Granger had quite a reputation as a man for the ladies.
Thank you, Constable. If I may ask one or two questions.
Of course, sir.
The usual ones, Doctor.
And the usual answers, Inspector. I'm not able to establish the time of death with any accuracy. The body had been on the moor anything up to 24 hours.
Excuse me, sir.
What is it, Constable?
I might be able to help there. You see, it had been raining hard last night, but I noticed that the ground under the body was still dry.
You moved the body?
No, sir. The rain had driven in fairly hard and had soaked in under one side of the body. But on the other side, it was easy to see that the ground was comparatively dry, protected by the body. I'm sure Sergeant Gregg will verify that.
Well, that would be of help in narrowing the time.
If we could establish what time it started to rain.
Oh, well done, Constable.
Yes, I was up on the moor myself last night. I met up with Astor. It started to rain somewhere around midnight.
That's a help.
I suppose you have an alibi for the time before you met Sergeant Astor, sir.
Constable, I have had very little sleep, followed by an extremely aggravating morning.
Yes, sir, it was a wee joke.
Dr. Calderside, the next obvious question is cause of death.
Oh, I'd have said no doubt about that.
I would like to hear it from the doctor.
Of course, sir.
I understand the weapon was found lying next to the body.
12 water.
Constable! Would you get me a cup of coffee?
Oh, yes, sir.
You'll find the canteen,
Doctor. I'll find it, Doctor.
He's a bright young man.
Yes, should go far, and indeed will do if I have anything to do with it. Now, the question I have to ask is, given the obvious cause of death, is there any question that it might have been an accident?
No. The man had taken the blast full in the chest.
Suicide?
Impossible. And for the same reason. He would have to have had extremely long arms.
Yes, I see. So, it's murder.
I would say so.
2 murders in 24 hours. Well, that's very exciting. I wonder what odds our bookmaker friend would have given against that happening.
I'm very pleased for you, sir.
Oh, come on, Fred. Only a few hours ago, we were complaining about the lack of excitement.
I think you were complaining rather more than me, sir.
But this is the sort of thing that makes the job worthwhile.
My lack of enthusiasm may have something to do with the fact that I still haven't managed to get any sleep.
Oh, I am sorry. We'll make it an early night tonight. Now, Derek Granger, what do we know so far?
Turf accountant, 43 years old. Well known among the social set on and off the racetrack. He's a high flyer, both financially and sexually.
I think you'll have to explain that.
Well, he makes his money primarily from off-course betting.
Anything,
Not a snip as far as we know. Quite the reverse. He puts a lot of his money back into racing. A great benefactor of local stables and the courses themselves, even south of the border.
Really?
Wherever he has betting shops, he makes sure the sport benefits locally. However, he's reported to have heavy investments in a variety of other interests.
You've done a lot of work in a very short time.
Most of it's Jackie here.
Hmm.
No more than common knowledge, sir.
Yes, well, I'm only interested in bookies when they get themselves killed. Now, what about this sexual high-flying? I take it we're not talking about the Mile High Club.
What's that, sir?
This is from Sergeant Gregg. Granger was renowned to be a sexual athlete of Olympic standard. But apart from the gossip, he was certainly photographed regularly with a variety of beautiful women on his arm.
Well, so far, his lifestyle seems highly commendable and rather enviable.
Oh, you might have hit on the word, sir. Envy.
A motive. But people don't kill from envy, do they?
You can't be a Derek Granger without being the subject of a lot of rumour.
Most of it bad.
Nobody bothers to start good rumours, sir.
And what are they saying about Granger?
That there's a number of married women, some married to very eminent folk, who, I don't have to tell you, I'm sure.
I see.
Tell you what, sir?
But it's rumour.
We can do some digging.
What we're digging for?
It's a possible motive.
What is?
But money's a more likely one. Does he have a head office?
Oh, yes.
Right, then we start there. Where are you going, young?
Were you, sir?
I don't think so.
But I thought I was on the case, sir.
Did you?
I found the body, sir, and I notified Sergeant Gregg, and I went you to the hospital.
Seems fair, sir.
Yes, yes, I suppose it does. All right, young. This is your big chance.
Yes, sir.
Sergeant Astor and I will see what we can dig up at Granger's office. You can stay here and go through everything and anything that you can find about him. And then, sit by the phone and wait for our call.
Well, someone has to do it, Jackie.
I suppose so. What I'm looking for, Sarge?
Anything. Start with his financial dealings. Find out who his accountants are, his lawyers, his stockbrokers. Somebody somewhere has a motive for killing him.
And the married women, Sarge, I don't quite follow.
Sex, Jackie. Sex.
We're married women.
It happens, Jackie. It's a wicked world.
Sarge?
Yes, Jackie?
Do you have the address of this Mile High Club?
I'm surprised to find you here, Miss Farrell. After your ordeal.
The world does have to go on, Inspector. Derek was at the head of a huge enterprise. A lot of people rely on me being here.
What exactly is your position in the firm? I understood secretary.
Derek's little joke, Inspector. I started as his secretary, so he's always referred to me as that. In fact, I run the entire turf accounting side of his business.
Oh, that's quite a responsibility.
For a woman?
For anybody.
It's in my blood. My father was a very well-known on-course bookmaker. Some years ago, there were allegations. Tattersalls banned him from attending any race meeting for the rest of his life.
Sandy Farrell?
That's right.
Ah.
Derek never believed the allegations and offered my father the job of racing manager here. Daddy accepted, but the damage was done. He died a few years later. Racing is my life, Inspector.
So, when did you last see Granger?
Yesterday. He came into the office every day. He may have had many other business interests, but his life was in racing as well.
Can I get you anything, Miss Farrell?
No. Thank you, Sergeant. I'm perfectly all right.
Horse racing has traditionally gathered around it some of the less desirable elements of society.
Traditionally, but reforms over the years, improved policing, stronger powers for the jockey club, not to mention scientific advances have meant that it is increasingly difficult to turn a dishonest penny.
What about this, what do you call it, the betting shop side of things?
Off course betting? Inspector, everybody knows a way of beating the bookies, legally or illegally. The fact is that everything has been tried before, and the few that have succeeded only ever do so once. You'll never hear a bookmaker call gambling a mug's game.
Hmm. I understand Granger had quite a reputation with the ladies.
Had he?
Common knowledge, Miss Farrell.
Is it relevant?
Well, I'm looking for a motive.
It's possible. Derek had immense charm. Coupled with his good looks and the power that his money gave him, it was a heady combination.
Irresistible.
Oh, yes. Once she had experienced the Granger method, the champagne flight, the box at Longchamp for the Arc de Triomphe, dinner at La Serre and the suite at the Georges Sank, no woman could resist.
No one?
I did, Inspector. I don't believe in mixing business with pleasure. I've always known that somebody was going to inherit Derek's betting empire, and it might as well be me. I suppose I have inherited that empire. You see, Derek loved racing, and he loved women. He liked winning at both. I had no intention of being one of his also-rans.
And he played a very varied field, is that the expression?
He had absolutely no qualms when it came to women.
Even if they were married?
You have been doing your homework.
A jealous husband, particularly one whose humiliation is made public, would have a powerful motive to revenge himself.
There were married women.
Perhaps married to eminent men?
Oh, Derek had class, Inspector. He didn't waste his time with scrubbers.
I don't understand.
What don't you understand, Sergeant?
Oh, never mind. I just don't understand why a woman would allow herself to be...
Animal attraction, Sergeant. The fact that a mare is already being covered doesn't necessarily prevent her encouraging the advances of a thoroughbred.
Names?
I suppose I could give you a couple. No more than you could find out for yourself.
What about a jealous woman?
No.
You sound very sure.
You never met Derek. No woman would destroy such a beautiful thing.
Even if she knew it couldn't belong to her?
Not while there was the remotest chance of her being able to possess it again.
There is another line of investigation open.
I'm sure there is, Sergeant.
Money. The other prime motive.
I suppose you're thinking of me?
I apologize for my sergeant, Miss Farrell. He has a very prosaic nature.
I shall benefit substantially from Derek's death.
I wasn't thinking. I was thinking about people that owed him money. Perhaps big money?
Would there be people who...
Yes. I hardly have to tell you that such information would be highly confidential.
Yes, I hardly have to tell you that court orders are already being prepared that will enable me to inspect all Mr. Granger's books.
Of course, Inspector. There is a short list of very large debtors. Those owing in excess of 100,000.
Good grief.
I will have that on your desk in a matter of hours.
Fred?
Sorry, sir.
I was asking your opinion.
Oh, my mind was away. I'm having some trouble staying awake.
You're having trouble keeping your mind off that young lady.
Oh, you know me, sir. Once bitten.
Nonsense. That was the first time you've looked more than half awake since this morning. You could be arrested for the look in your eyes.
She was rather spectacular.
And cool.
And efficient.
So, what do you think?
I think she's a bit strong for a sergeant's pay packet.
I meant, what did you think about what she had to say?
She didn't tell as much.
There wasn't much point in you being there, Fred.
Well, she was honest enough about having a motive.
Well, we were going to find that out anyway.
And she made it clear she had no romantic attachment to Granger herself.
If we believe her.
But she was honest enough about her reasons, and in being honest, she again emphasized the fact that she benefits from his death.
So, you think that because she's beautiful, efficient and honest and is about to become very wealthy as a result of her employer's death, we should discount her from our inquiries?
I'm just not going to jump to conclusions.
I'm sure you're not, Fred. I'm sorry I asked.
She had a point about a woman not killing him.
Ah, now there I agree. I'm not talking about Miss Farrell's half-baked theories. I'm thinking of the weapon. Women kill with knives or poison, maybe a small gun, but not a 12-bore.
And where would she get hold of a 12-bore?
I don't think we're going to get much further today, Fred. Perhaps you should get some sleep. Come. Oh, Constable Young, what can we do for you?
I've got these, sir, and the evening paper.
Oh, let me see.
On the front page, sir.
Socialite brutally murdered.
And this was delivered by special messenger.
Well, that's one fact they've got right.
And this is my report.
Oh, yeah, I'll take those, Jackie.
Good grief.
What's that, sir?
Sir Harold Blasted Kelso sounding off on public morality again. Listen to this. These people must be made aware that driving a car after having consumed any alcohol puts innocent members of the public at risk. The hypocritical prig. Then he's handed out the maximum possible sentence to two young offenders.
You can't criticise the man, sir.
I could criticise his right to pontificate on a law which he happily ignores himself.
What's that, sir?
Oh, he really does make me very angry.
Oh, in that case, this should interest you.
What's that?
A list of the people who owe Granger Turf Services more than £100,000. Sir Harold is into them for £100,360.
My God.
Miss Farrell's divided her list into two groups. Those who owe that sort of money and can continue to bet, and those on the stop list. Sir Harold's on the stop list.
No, I see that.
What's the stop list?
Just what it says, Jackie. A list of people who've exceeded their credit limits, or who for some other reason can no longer place bets with off-course bookmakers.
Some surprising names.
Yes.
You might be right about looking at money as a motive. Well, some of the sums involved here might be worth killing for.
You're not thinking.
Oh, I'd like to. Depends how badly he needs 100,000.
Oh, Constable Young has another wee nugget, sir. Derek Granger, man about town, leading socialite and darling of the fairer sex, was also a married man.
Well, well.
11 years. Annette Granger, 41 years old, no children.
Well done, Constable.
The sergeant Astor always says, divine inspiration is one thing, but it doesn't produce as many results as the painstaking plod.
Does he? Well, this is obviously your forte, Constable. So, Take Miss Farrell's list and go through every name on it. Find out everything about them. In particular, I want to know how they can afford to lose such sums of money and why Granger would continue to let them go on losing while others he stops.
What exactly am I looking for, sir?
No idea. With any luck, that's what you're going to tell me.
I'll start right away.
No, you won't, Constable. It's late. You won't find the access to the information you need at this time of night. Oh, we all need some time away from this. Tomorrow we'll see Granger's wife. Mm. And, I expect Miss Farrell is worth another visit.
Oh, yes, sir.
Get to bed, Sergeant.
Right, sir.
And, Sergeant.
Sir?
Sweet dreams.
I read about it in the newspaper. I didn't allow it to spoil my day. There's no point in trying to pretend, Inspector. Derek and I have been separated for 7 years. I've hated him for much longer than that.
But you stayed married.
The arrangement suits me. I have an adequate allowance, when he remembered to send it.
Send it?
Oh, none of your civilized behavior for Derek, Inspector. It would have been too impersonal to make out bank drafts or deal through my lawyer. He sent the checks through the post, signed by that secretary of his, so that everybody was constantly reminded how generous he was being to his mouse of a wife. And then when he forgot to send it, I would have to go to his office to pick it up personally from that little bitch. Just to rub my face a little harder in the dirt.
Why didn't he divorce you?
I've no idea. I would never give him grounds. Some womanizers like the safety net of a little wife tucked away somewhere. Maybe he didn't want the publicity.
I understand he wasn't known for his reticence in that area.
He wouldn't want the kind of publicity divorce would give him. Anyway, it doesn't matter now, does it? I've won.
Won?
He's dead. No more worrying about financial settlements. No more humiliations. Another good reason for not divorcing him. I imagine I'll be a wealthy widow.
I wouldn't know.
Perhaps it's my turn to enjoy a little of the life he led.
When did you last see your husband?
I've no idea. Weeks ago. Months.
When you went to his office?
I didn't necessarily see Derek. The Farrow woman would have the check ready for me, together with some reason for my not seeing him. She needn't have bothered herself.
Can you tell me where you were when your husband was killed?
Oh, really, Inspector. When was he killed?
Sometime between 6 and 11:30 the night before last.
I watched television, and I was in bed, shortly after the news at 10, I expect.
You were alone?
For both activities.
I meant to...
I know what you meant, Inspector.
Do you remember what you watched?
No. Yes, there was a play on.
Do you remember...
No. Do you watch television, Inspector? Do you remember what it was about afterwards?
I don't watch much television.
I don't have an alibi for the time you mentioned. Perhaps if I had killed my husband, I might have made sure I had one.
I have to ask...
Then I suggest you ask some of the tarts he flaunted round town. Even better, ask some of the women whose marriages he wrecked, or their husbands. Better still, ask that bitch that runs his office, the one he always goes back to when the current affair loses its excitement.
Our inquiries will cover all the usual ground.
It'll give me great pleasure to show her the door. If you haven't got her first.
So do for my money, sir.
Yes, an obvious choice.
Nobody could have a better motive. She didn't disguise a dislike of her husband.
Dislike? He's putting it mildly.
The two strongest motives, hate and money. And she has no alibi.
Which leaves method. Where did she get a 12-bore shotgun, Fred? Mm. And what's happening about that?
I left that one with Constable Young.
Well, let's get back to the office and find out how he's getting on.
Come up with quite a lot there, sir.
Good.
Fingerprints first.
Who's?
Don't know, sir. Not on record. In any case, the killer would almost certainly have worn gloves.
Constable, will you stop wagging your tail like a pleased puppy and tell me what you have to report?
Get on with it, Jackie.
I've traced the owner, sir.
Have you?
Well, not actually me.
Young...
Sorry, sir. It belongs to Sir Harold Kelso.
Does it indeed? Are you sure?
Yes, sir. Last registered owner.
Well, there's a turn up for the book.
Yes.
Then I'd better go and pay Sir Harold a visit. And you, Fred, you go and see Miss Farrell again. And find out if there's any connection between him and Granger other than a large debt.
Right.
Oh, will you be all right on your own?
I'll manage, sir.
Well, if you need me, just whistle.
Sir?
You know how to whistle, don't you? You just put your lips together and blow.
What was that about, Sarge?
Don't worry about it, Jackie. He wants to be Humphrey Bogart when he grows up.
Well, somebody's obviously made an idiotic mistake.
I doubt it, Sir Harold. Unless you've sold the gun and the new owner hasn't noticed.
Of course I haven't.
Well, the problem's easily resolved.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Who is it?
Penny, we're down here.
Ronnie! Oh, very nice. What brings you here?
Business, I'm afraid, Penny.
Just an inquiry.
Ronnie seems to think I've mislaid a gun.
Oh?
You were just about to show me.
Yes, yes, this way. This is the gun room.
Is that door always unlocked?
I haven't got an arsenal here, Ronnie. A few sporting guns, and the house is very secure.
Well, you were broken into, Betty.
Yes, yes, but nothing... Oh, good Lord.
Yes?
There is a gun missing. 12-bore.
Are you sure?
Oh, don't be a bloody fool, Ronnie. I'm sorry. I just can't believe... Well, I was obviously wrong.
The guns...
Six of them.
...are left in this glass-fronted cupboard, unlocked.
Well, one doesn't expect...
What? You're a sheriff, Sir Harold. You are aware that...
These are for sport.
And one of them has blasted the life out of a man.
Oh. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry, my dear.
What's happened?
Ronald is suggesting that this gun was used to kill somebody.
Your gun?
I'm afraid so.
Who?
Derek Granger.
That man who was on the news? Oh, that's awful.
Did you know him?
No.
Yes. I knew him. I did business with him. I don't think my wife... I don't think you met him, did you, Penny?
No, I don't think so.
He was a bookmaker.
I think everybody knows of my interest in horse racing. Mr. Granger was, in fact, a great benefactor of the sport in Scotland.
Well, I think I might have met him.
It's quite possible, my dear. It's not important.
What is important is the gun that killed him. It belonged to you.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? It's perfectly obvious what happened. Somebody stole the gun.
Yes, when we were burgled.
Well, you said nothing mistaken.
Well, obviously I didn't check.
You had six guns in the house and you didn't check.
These guns remain unused for months. They're oiled and put away until the season starts. I never give the damn things a thought for 8 months in the year. That's Peter's job.
Peter?
And my gilly. And he doesn't need to give them much attention outside the season. He has his own gun for rabbits and other pests.
It all seems very casual.
Well, it isn't. You and I live in different worlds, Ronnie.
Harry?
I'm quite sure we do. Ammunition?
Kept in those drawers over there.
Unlocked, I suppose?
Of course they're not locked.
And not much point in locking up the ammunition if you leave the guns unlocked.
I don't like your attitude.
I don't give a damn whether you like my attitude or not. I consider that to be criminal bloody negligence. And in the light of what's happened, you have a great deal to answer for.
Ronnie, Harry doesn't mean... We're both a little shocked.
Yes, well, we have to assume that the gun was taken during the break-in. Whether that was the sole purpose of the burglary, if nothing else was taken...
The man was disturbed.
Well, not by anybody in the house.
By the dog.
Ah.
I assume you've made no progress there.
Not to my knowledge. And now that we know that the gun was taken, we shall redouble our efforts.
You mean it's taken this unfortunate man's death to galvanize you into some sort of action?
Most of my time has been taken up with an outbreak of sheep rustling.
What?
However, I will send a man over to take your fingerprints.
Oh!
What are you talking about?
Well, we shall need them for elimination purposes.
But you already have them after the break-in.
They will have been destroyed.
Do you expect me to believe that? I know that the police tend to keep them on file.
That is not true.
Which is tantamount to a violation of civil liberties.
Both you and your wife are at complete liberty to witness the destruction of your prints once we have...
Once you've transferred them onto a computer.
Just exactly what concerns you, Sir Harold. I mean, what do you have to worry about if your conscience is clear and you have no intention of committing a felony in the future?
The fact that we know each other socially does not give you the right to come on...
I could have sent my sergeant round.
We do appreciate your coming personally. It's difficult. It's not easy for us either.
Yes, well, I have no more questions for the moment. I shall send somebody round. But you have my word that the prints will be destroyed.
They will be. I shall see to that.
I don't think Derek had seen her in years, but he looked after her very well. The house is hers. The allowance was very generous.
An allowance that she often had to ask you for.
I don't comment on how people conduct their lives.
You just do your job.
I just do my job.
Will you be doing it for much longer?
What do you mean?
Well, presumably Mrs. Granger will inherit the business.
I don't think so.
She thinks so.
Oh, I can see how she would like that.
You seem to know something that she doesn't, or that I do for that matter.
Once again, Sergeant, I have to say that my job entails a great deal of confidentiality.
Oh, come on, Miss Farrell. Let me say again that we're on a murder inquiry, and we're going to find out a lot of things you might prefer to remain confidential. In the meantime, if you can help the police in their inquiries...
You're very persuasive.
And stop playing bloody games. You're a very attractive woman, Miss Farrell, and I'm sure you're used to getting exactly what you want from people. But I'm used to getting what I want as well, and I don't appreciate being messed about.
Perhaps I wasn't messing about.
Why do you think Mrs. Granger won't inherit this business?
Because Derek has made arrangements that on his death, I should have the opportunity of buying the rest of the shares in it.
The rest of them?
I'm already a major shareholder. And Mrs. Granger will be wasting her time if she even considers contesting Derek's wishes. She's very well catered for. She will be a wealthy woman and she will continue to receive a share of the annual profits.
You've seen Granger's will?
Yes. We were very close.
Mrs. Granger suggested you were more than close.
Did she?
She said he had affairs with many women, but that you were the one he always went back to.
She has a nasty tongue.
Did he always come back to you?
When it suited me.
You told the inspector you didn't mix business with pleasure.
Derek was purely business.
You did sleep with him.
And it paid off. I got what I wanted. He no longer had any real interest in the work here. I have. I did not intend to see that dreary little wife of his inherit a concern that I had helped to build up and was running successfully.
I see.
You're not shocked, Sergeant? Sometimes a girl has to look after her own interests. I wasn't prepared to be another of Derek's affairs to be dropped when he got bored. I made the running. His rather flashy charm didn't appeal to me. I like a man to be a little more mature. A little more reliable. I like a steer. Sergeant.
Yes. Well, you said that, what about some of these other affairs? You said you might be able to give us some names.
Mostly they were easily forgettable. Leggy, busty earheads. They wouldn't interest you, Sergeant. They might have bored Derek to death, but they weren't intelligent enough to bear any real malice.
But there were others.
There were others when I thought that Derek was being more than usually indiscreet.
Married women?
As your inspector suggested. Sometimes to some very eminent people.
Such as who? He really didn't seem to give a damn. Flaunting his sexual achievements.
Oh, some little boys never grow up. Such as who, Fred?
Well, the wife of a leading trainer. That actually came to a punch-up at the Air Spring meeting. That was particularly unfortunate because he had hopes of receiving some royal horses into the stable.
That sort of thing's no longer a bar to royal patronage, is it? Surely they have enough problems of their own these days. No, not impressed.
There was the daughter of a prominent minister.
Oh, I'm told they can be very spirited little things.
Well, that might have gone unremarked if he hadn't then decided to, what do they call it in racing terms, go through the card.
This case is in danger of corrupting you, Fred. What do you mean?
mean?
Well, it started being seen out with a minister's wife.
Ah, a man of Catholic taste.
Church of Scotland, I say.
Yeah, the reverend gentleman might have sold his story to the newspaper, and he would always have the consolation of knowing that his wife would get her comeuppance at the pearly gates. No, you'll have to do better than that.
How about the wife of a man very eminent in local political and legal circles?
There's enough adultery in political and legal circles to make it almost a sine qua non for the job. Come on, Fred. We're looking for a motive for murder. And so far, the wife and your lady are ahead of the field. Now, all this squalid wife bonking isn't providing us with anything.
Ah, but what if the man I'm talking about was a pillar of rectitude? He was constantly delivering homilies in public about moral behavior, and who was in danger of being laughed out of court if his wife's indiscretion was discovered? And what if he was also in considerable debt to Granger?
Harold Kelso?
Would you like another one of those, sir?
Damn you, Fred. What have you found out?
Just that. Penny Kelso. Lady Penelope.
And Granger?
She came to her senses just before I hit the gossip columns. But neither of them made much of a secret of it up till then.
Well, how did Kelso take it?
I can only guess.
Yes.
Ah, there you are, sir. I was looking for you. They said you might be in the pub.
No, not in uniform, yeah. Not in uniform.
What's that, sir?
You don't come into a pub in uniform, Jackie.
It frightens the customers.
I'm sorry. I wanted to get this to you. It's the information you wanted on the people who owed Mr. Granger money.
Well, it can wait until I get back to the office.
I thought it was urgent.
Well, it's not. Good Lord. You're going to publish a book?
I tried to be thorough.
Good, Constable. But what you give me is a précis, a report that I can digest in 5 minutes.
Sorry, sir. Leave that on my desk, Jackie. I'll give you a hand later.
Thanks, Fulton.
Oh, no, wait. What have you got on Sir Harold Kelso?
He's a sheriff. His title is in.
He owes the deceased a great deal of money. Can he afford it?
No.
Thank you. Then how has he got into that kind of debt?
Gambling, sir.
I think I can answer that, sir. Okay, Jackie, get that stuff back to the office. I'll be across shortly.
Right. Thanks, Sarge. I'm sorry, sir. I thought...
Ah, he's not a bad lad, sir.
Have a word with him, friend. Sort him out.
Right.
About Kelso.
Oh, yes. I asked Miss Barrow. Every client, you see, has a credit limit. When they reach it, then they can have no more bets until it's settled. They're the average mud punter. Then there are some who are the really heavy gamblers.
Kelso?
Not really, sir. His credit limit was 10,000. As a couple have got 50,000 limits, and even more if they want it, they were good for it.
And Kelso wasn't?
Nancy said not.
Nancy?
Miss Farrell. She said that he'd reached a point where Kelso was not paying and was just doubling up his bets. It's a classic recipe for losing.
Well, why did they let him get so far in over his head?
I can think of two reasons. One, that he's a prominent figure and you don't want to offend a man like that. And secondly, it could give you a hold over him.
Blackmail?
I'm just putting a couple of ideas forward.
But gambling debts are not enforceable in law.
Well, if Granger chose to bring him before Tattersall's, he could be banned from the sport.
I think I should have another word with him. He suddenly has a lot more questions to answer.
Well, the same I'd go a bit canny, sir. A bad man to have against you. What about the wife?
You're right, Fred. Let's be thorough. Let's do it by your book. The wife first. Tomorrow morning. Which gives you time to get these in again.
Well, cheers, Ronnie.
Yes, cheers. Oh, excellent.
Harry has it shipped privately.
Nice to have money.
Connections. I'm sure Harry could arrange to let you have the occasional dozen bottles.
I would certainly be tempted.
You don't like him, do you?
I'm not here to talk about him, Penny.
No.
You lied to me.
It was a very long time ago. And Derek... Do we have to?
I could ask somebody else.
No. I'm not going to make excuses, Ronnie. You didn't know him?
No.
He was such fun. Harry is quite a bit older than me, but I suppose I was carried away at the thought of being Lady Penelope Kelso. And the responsibility of helping him run the estate made me feel very grown up. But eventually, seemed there was no escape from it. And the evenings spent with boring people who might be useful to Harry. Oh, that's why I love the evenings we have with you and Margaret. She's always full of the newest things happening in the theatre and in the arts. You have such a fund of fascinating stories.
Margaret says I always talk shop.
Well, perhaps your shop is more interesting than Harry's. And you have a sense of humour. Oh, Harry can devote a whole evening to the possible effect of the Nationalist vote on the council elections. And he's terminally worried about the lack of support for the Tories in Scotland.
Oh, the Scots are a very generous race. I'm sure they will support the Tories at the first sign of the Tories supporting them.
You see, a sense of humour is very sexy.
I'm still Margaret, that.
Oh, she knows.
Well, we were talking about you.
Yes, of course.
When did you meet Granger?
It was a race meeting. We were having a dismal day. Harry had lost badly.
Gambling?
Oh, no, Harry doesn't gamble. He had two horses running that day. They were both strongly fancied to win, and neither of them was placed. And then, suddenly, there was Derek. I remember a lot of champagne and laughter, and then he put a bet on a horse for me. He said it was bound to win, and it did, and I remember shouting at home and hugging Derek, and we laughed.
I see.
No, I don't think you do, Ronnie. He was charming and attentive, and he offered a social and a sexual excitement that I'd always dreamed of. The affair just seemed to start very naturally, and it didn't seem at all wrong. You see, it depends sometimes how you look at things. Words are very important. Being unfaithful to Harry was all a bit of a lark, but adultery... It was adultery. It became more and more difficult to find opportunities. Oh, Derek didn't care, but I did. Somehow the excitement wore off.
For you?
Yes. It would have ended naturally.
But?
Harry found out.
I see. How?
Derek told him.
Oh.
He said he wanted to marry me, that he was in love with me, but... Oh, Harry needed me. And somehow it has made us much stronger.
When was all this?
More than a year ago.
And you haven't seen him since?
No.
And Harry?
I don't know. I suppose... He was very angry. I didn't realize the damage I was doing to him. I hurt him dreadfully. I've grown up a lot, Ronnie.
And everybody lived happily ever after?
Yes.
Except Granger.
Oh, poor Derek.
Who killed him, Penny? Who would kill him?
I have no idea.
And who would try to implicate you?
Me?
Or Harry? The gun that killed him came from here.
It was stolen.
And then used to kill Granger.
That's coincidence, surely. Anybody could have stolen the gun. Somebody could have stolen it to sell to somebody else. These things happen.
Happenstance.
What?
Once is coincidence, Mr. Bond. Twice is happenstance. Yeah, thank you for being so frank, Penny. I know it's been very painful for you.
Thank you for being a friend.
It's very difficult for coppers to have friends.
But we are.
I'd like to think so.
You're jumping to conclusions, sir.
But I'm right. She's protecting her husband.
She could be protecting herself.
Oh, look at it again, Fred. It all makes sense. What did your Miss Farrell say?
She's not my Miss Farrell.
Well, she's a pretty straight lady, wouldn't you say?
Yes. She's a fairly tough nut, and she doesn't volunteer information. But when she says something, I reckon she means it.
And she said no woman would have killed Granger.
That's theory, sir.
And the weapon used was a man's weapon.
Theory?
Will you stop interrupting?
I'll do my best.
The gun belonged to Kelso. Now, I find it unlikely that he would not know that a gun was missing after a break-in.
and we've made no progress on that. Mm. I think we'll find that the whole thing was a put-up job to explain the loss of the gun.
No, hold on, sir.
Let me finish. Nothing else was taken, because they were presumably disturbed by a dog. Now, proper villains know what they're doing. If they wanted to turn over the Kelso place, they would have coped with a dozy pooch.
You're not being logical, sir.
Oh. All right, Fred, all right. Why not?
If you're going to the trouble of faking a break-in in order to explain the loss of a gun, then you report the loss at once.
Yes, all right, all right, all right. Let's assume that the break-in was genuine. But he used it later to explain the loss of the gun.
Well, I suppose that's feasible.
Well, it's more than feasible, and he's got the motive, revenge and money. There's over 100,000 involved, and he owes it to somebody who's had an affair with his wife.
He still owes the money.
But Nancy Farrell is not Derek Granger. She plays everything very close to her chest. She has nothing to gain by shopping Kelso. She can afford to wait for him to pay. He doesn't want his racing cronies to know about his gambling debts. And that's something else. Penny said he didn't gamble.
Then she's wrong.
Not necessarily. Suppose that money was some kind of payoff. Penny said that Granger was still in love with her. Maybe he took money to stay away. Well, Kelso knew what had been going on, and if he were prepared to pay the man off, a phony credit account would be the ideal way of explaining such large sums of money.
Then we'll find checks paid from Kelso's account to Granger's account.
No. He hasn't paid any yet. It's a credit account. When Granger decides he's had enough, he'll call in the total debt. Kelso only had to agree to make one losing bet, and he was caught in the classic blackmail syndrome. But then he was trapped in a second threat, the exposure of the gambling debts to Tattersalls or...
Hold on, sir. Let's imagine you're right so far.
Well, I am.
So we know how and we know why, but what about when? At the time Granger was killed, Kelso was with you, sitting around drinking your brandy.
No! I thought about that, too. I think we're dealing with a very cool customer. What did you call him? A pillar of rectitude?
Did I?
And yet, on the night Granger was killed, he had been drinking and was out driving his car when he was well over the legal limit. And he was careless enough to let me know what he was doing. Good grief, Fred. He made me his alibi.
But you are his alibi, sir.
No, he left the dinner party well before I did. I had to wait for a car. He had previously phoned Granger. No. He used the moment. He went home and phoned Granger. Arranged a meeting.
At that time of
night. Money. Granger was blackmailing him. He met him, killed him, and then drove on to meet me. Yes, I'm quite certain he asked me where the hit and run had happened. He used me as his alibi.
He'd be taking an enormous chance.
Well, murder's a risky business.
And you just said Kelso wasn't a gambler.
But he didn't gamble. He worked out the odds very carefully. He sat and waited for the moment. And when it presented itself, he took it coldly and calmly. Well, obviously he had to tell Penny where he was going at that time of night, so he needed me as his alibi. Oh, but I should have seen it earlier. I mean, normally, he would never have driven in that state. It was out of character.
So is murder.
I'd have to speak to Macaulay before I do anything. What are you up to, Fred?
Oh, I'm just following up a few ideas. Tidying up a couple of things.
Could you bring yourself to talk to your Miss Farrell again?
Yes.
I want to know exactly when those bets of Kelso's were made. I have a feeling we'll find he never made them.
I'll go and see her.
Yeah, and I'll go and see Macaulay. I hope he'll come with me to see Kelso.
I hope you're right, Ronnie.
You've heard what I had to say, sir.
It's very circumstantial.
And it all fits.
Well, just be very careful what you say.
And that's why I wanted you to be here, sir.
Ronald, to what do I owe this pleasure? Oh, Ian. I wasn't told you were here.
Good evening, Harry.
Is this a formal visit?
I asked Superintendent Macaulay to accompany me.
Oh?
A few problems seem to have cropped up.
Really? I presume there's no point in offering you a drink.
Sir Harold, I'm sure you remember the night Derek Granger was murdered.
Of course.
Could you tell me what you did after you left my house?
I went home.
And then you went out again?
You know I did. What exactly is going on?
If you could bear with us, Harry.
Have you come to give me some sort of reprimand? I'd had a drink. Coleman made his attitude perfectly clear, and I made mine equally clear. I phoned you next day because I felt Well, it exceeded his authority.
Can you tell me when you decided to come looking for the scene of the hit-and-run accident?
No, I can't.
Well, perhaps you can tell me how long you were out of the house that night.
Quite a long time. Why?
Presumably Lady Kelso would know.
I was gone, at least an hour.
Quite a long time. How long would it take you to drive from here to Craigna Foley?
Ronnie.
Craigna Foley?
It's where Derek Granger's body was found.
There's a telephone call for you.
Oh, I'll take it.
What are you suggesting, Coleman?
I'm just trying to clarify a few things in my own mind, sir. How long?
About 10 minutes.
And to drive from here to the hit and run?
About 15 minutes.
You were out for more than an hour. It
took me a little time to find you.
You knew where we were?
Not exactly. It probably took me half an hour to find you.
How long would it take Granger to get from his home to Craigna Foley?
No damned idea. And I don't think I'm answering any more questions until I have my lawyer present.
That is your right, sir. There are more questions I want to ask.
Such as?
Ronnie.
I want a better explanation of how your gun came to be used to kill Granger.
You know damned well the gun was...
And I want to know more about the extremely heavy gambling debt you had incurred to Granger Turf Service.
What the hell are you talking about?
That was Sergeant Astor. He said it was urgent.
What was it?
Oh, it's nothing he could say over the phone. He suggests you return to the station.
Ah. Well, we'll not get any further here. Sir Harold has decided to exercise his right to legal representation. I suggest we... all go to the station.
Do you mean me?
Yes, sir.
Am I under arrest?
Of course not, Harry. Just a few questions. Isn't that right?
Quite a few, sir. Why didn't you tell me any of this, Fred?
Because I didn't know any of it until a couple of hours back.
Pursuing your own lines of inquiry.
Not exactly, sir. Just plodding along.
Doing it by the book. You should have told me what you were up to.
You were not in the mood to listen. You'd made your mind up.
No question of error.
No. Forensic haven't had time to type it up.
Enough to make an arrest?
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a mess. Well, have to face it, I suppose. Come with me, Fred.
I do, sir.
May I remind you, Superintendent, that my client is not here on a social visit?
I'm sorry, Mr. Crutter.
And unless you intend to lay formal charges...
I'm sure that Inspector Crutter...
We have been waiting half an hour. I suggest you find your inspector this instant, or allow Sir Harold and his wife...
There was no need for Lady Kelso.
I wanted to come.
Sorry to have kept you all waiting.
Ah!
This is Mr. Cropper. He's representing Sir Harold.
And getting extremely angry at this inexcusable delay.
I have apologized.
But there had better be a good reason.
There is. A very good reason. Further facts have come to light.
Concerning my client?
No.
Then may I assume that my client is not under arrest?
It has never been suggested that Sir Harold...
Sir Harold has been good enough to come to the station to help us with our inquiries into the death of Derek Granger.
Oh, stop playing games, Inspector.
I still have questions that require answers.
Are you cautioning my client?
Do shut up, Cropper. Inspector Coleman knows that I'm always happy to assist the police in any way I'm able. What I resent, and shall pursue at another time, is any suggestion that I've been less than forthcoming with my help up to now.
The point I was about to make, Sir Harold...
And I detect a change from his previous attitude. Am I right, Inspector?
You said that you were out of the house for more than an hour on the night Granger was murdered. Can you be more precise?
No.
Can you help us?
That sounds about right. Over an hour.
I remember suggesting Penny didn't wait up. I didn't know exactly where the accident was. It might have been one of my employees.
Yes. How well did you know Granger?
Not at all. Only from the race course.
Where did he live?
I've no idea.
You're sure?
Of course I'm sure.
In view of his association with your wife.
What the hell do you mean by that?
I told him, Harry. He knows.
Damn and blast you, Coleman.
Sir Harold, I wish you would take my advice.
Let's get this over with, Cropper.
Presumably, you do know where Granger lived.
Yes.
And how to contact him.
Yes.
Night or day.
Yes.
And how long it would take him to get from his home to Craigna Foley.
About half an hour.
20 minutes at night?
Lady Penelope? About 20 minutes, would you say?
What is going on, Inspector?
I'll ask my sergeant to continue, sir. He's been doing the groundwork on this case. Sergeant Astor?
Yes, sir. I've been checking on dry cleaning establishments, sir.
On what?
The Federation of Dry Cleaners, the professional body, they're very helpful. I gave them a number of photos. They distributed them throughout all the shops in the area.
What photographs are these, Sergeant?
It was just a precaution, sir. Normal procedure. You see, it struck me that whoever had fired the shotgun on the night in question would need to get rid of the powder burns from their clothing. They would either destroy it or perhaps have it cleaned.
And what have you come up with, Sergeant?
Well, the photographs weren't necessary, as it turned out. Lady Kelso used her own name when she took a raincoat, a sweater, and a dress to the brand new dry cleaning and repair.
What the hell are you talking about?
Forensic have told me their findings. They're typing up a full report. I also went to Granger Turf Services and spoke to Miss Nancy Farrell. She reluctantly confirmed the fact that the Kelso account had been stocked with debts of more than £100,000.
What?
Upon investigation, she ascertained that the wages had been
what
made by...
What the bloody hell are you talking about,
Harold? She ascertained that the wages had been made in the name of Lady Kelso.
What is going on?
There were relatively few wages made.
He let me double up. It just seemed like fun.
Lady Kelso, I must advise
you... Are you telling me, sir?
Yes, thank you, Sergeant. Penelope Kelso, I'm arresting you on suspicion of the murder of Derek Apsley Granger on the night...
Do not say anything at this moment.
Stop it. Stop it, all of you.
I should warn you that you're not obliged to say anything.
It's all right, Ronnie. It's all right.
Do you mean that you owed that man money? Used my name?
I also killed him, Harry. Which bothers you most?
I must insist that that last remark be treated in the light of extreme emotional stress.
Oh, you are a nincompoop, Cropper.
And should be disregarded.
Why do you employ such idiots, Harry?
There's one other thing, but my sergeant had the presence of mind to ask the man who found that unfortunate woman's body whether he'd seen any other cars on the moor that night. On his way home, he saw the Land Rover belonging to Granger. And he saw a light green saloon car parked next to it. Lady Kelso, I believe you own a light green saloon car?
I was afraid he might have seen us.
He remembers thinking it was a bad night for a lover's tryst.
What happens now, Ronnie?
Forensic will give your car a going over.
I mean, to me.
Well, of course, you will.
That's absolute nonsense. Macaulay, I hold you responsible for this prefabricated rubbish.
Superintendent, this is all highly irregular.
Lady Kelso has been advised of her rights.
You don't have to say anything else.
Still being a perfect gentleman, Ronnie. Derek was never that. But he was so exciting. I did try to be a good wife to you, Harry. Oh, we've been through all that.
It's our private business, Penny.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Eh, Ronnie? He got tired of me.
Penny.
It wasn't the way I told you, Ronnie. I thought I was going to marry him. And he just laughed and told me he was already married. I didn't know it was possible to love anybody so much. And he got bored with me. And then there was the money, but that was only a game. It wasn't real money. But he talked about business and debts of honor. What did he know about honor? How could I pay him that sort of money? It had all been a game.
Please, don't say any more, Penny.
I must advise you.
But you see, I had written letters. He would have made them public. I would have been left with nothing.
We would have survived.
Would we? Perhaps now. So, I phoned him. We'd been talking about the break-in over dinner, you remember?
Did you fake that?
Oh, no. There really was a break-in.
Is that when you took the gun?
No, I took it that night. I had known for some time that I would have to do something. And there was the moment. Harry had never let me out of his sight since. But there he was, rushing off on some quixotic errand.
There'd been an accident.
I wish I could have been sure that you cared as much for me.
Oh, my dear.
But you gave me the chance I needed.
So you phoned Granger?
Yes.
And he came? Just like that?
He would always come, night or day, when we... I knew he would come for his money. He still cared about that.
And you took the gun?
I would have been left with nothing. No Derek, no Harry. Will I be able to go home? There are things I will need.
I'll arrange that.
Lady Kelso, if you will go with the sergeant, formal charges will be laid. Mr. Cropper, I suggest...
Yes, yes, sir, of course. Please, Lady Kelso.
You haven't heard the last of this, Macaulay. This man, he has carried out a personal vendetta. He has harassed me and has tricked my wife. You haven't heard the last of this.
You've done well on this one, Jackie. Or just following up what you told me to do? Showing a bit of initiative. Inspector Coleman can't ignore what you've done on this one.
He doesn't like me, does he?
The inspector?
I seem to make him angry.
No, no. He was saying just yesterday that you... what was it you said? He thought you were wasted in the police force.
Did he? Can I freshen your glass, Sarge?
And you've got all the right instincts.
Same again?
Yeah.
Do you think he'd recommend me for a transfer?
I'm sure he would.
It's a CID.
You can only ask.
Perhaps you could say something, Sarge.
Yes, yes, it's a pint.
Oh, right. Funny how things work out, isn't it? A wee thing like that Lady Kelso. Then the inspector thought all along it was a man.
Yes.
I wasn't so sure myself.
Well, Nancy Farrow was sure it wouldn't be a woman.
You fancy her, don't you?
Who?
That Nancy Farrow.
Don't be daft.
Yes, you do. You bring her into the conversation.
You're being stupid, Jackie.
Don't think so.
That's one of the reasons the inspector gets so angry with you.
But you just
said... when you say daft things like that, he gets angry.
Sorry, I don't mean... I mean...
It doesn't matter to me.
Just that you said that Nancy...
Yes,
Farrow...
I know what I said. Are you going to get that drink in, or you know?
I won't hear of it. You're being bloody stupid, Ronnie.
I certainly have been, sir. Which is why I'm tendering my resignation. I let my own personal likes and dislikes lead me into making a fool of myself. And nearly caused serious trouble for you.
But you didn't.
A last-minute phone call from my sergeant.
Now look, Ronnie.
I ignored the basic tenet of good police work. I let my personal feelings affect my judgment. I like Penny, Lady Kelso. She's an attractive woman, and I didn't want it to be her. Didn't even consider her. I don't like Kelso, and I did want it to be him.
Look, you're tired, and you're under emotional stress. Go home, talk to Margaret, and have a good night's sleep, and, well, talk about it in the morning.
Good grief. The number of times I've lectured my sergeant about coppers and having friends.
Ronnie, I am not accepting your resignation, is that clear? What you want to do about it tomorrow is your business. Now go and get yourself a large malt.
My last bus goes in a minute.
What makes you think I could afford a woman like Nancy Farrow?
I wouldn't know anything about that, sergeant.
I mean, on a sergeant's paper.
I ought to be going home.
No. We'll have another of these.
You think you...
Now, don't you start that, Jackie. I'll tell you when I've had enough.
But the inspector's just come in. I think I'd better be on my way.
Stand your ground, Jackie. I'm going to tell him what you said.
There you are, Fred. Thought I might find you across here.
I've knocked off for the night, sir. I'm owed a night's sleep.
Quite right. Young. Jackie Young, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
What do you have, sir?
Call me Ronnie.
Sir?
I'm starting a new life, Fred. As a civilian.
Is everything all right, sir?
No. No, it's not. Oh, we'll discuss it over a jar. You know, Fred, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
The part of Inspector Coleman was played by Stephen Thorne.
Sergeant Astor, Joe Dunlop, and PC Young, Peter Gunn. Penelope Kelso, Phyllis Logan, Harry Kelso, James Warwick. Annette Granger, Morag Hood, Nancy Farrell, Elaine Collins. Margaret Coleman, Diana Bishop, Superintendent McCauley, John Fleming. Dr. Calderside, Pauline Yates, Mr. Cropper, John Webb, Constable David Holt, and Derek Granger, Dominic Letts. Death Against the Odds was written by Michael McStay and directed by Jane Morgan.